Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back a rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 441. Happy Stanislav Petrov Day. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm confused.
Well, today is a very important day because
I'm not irradiated.
We're not irradiated. We have all of our limbs. We are not living under a permanent dust shroud because honestly, we probably wouldn't be alive had the warning that their computers had erroneously put out saying that the United States had launched nuclear missiles towards Russia was in fact a bug. And he was like, oh, that's a bug, and didn't report it up the chain. So we didn't have an all-out nuclear war in the 1980s. Yeah.
And technically, like, he disobeyed orders because the person that's monitoring this system is supposed to, like, immediately launch the counterattack if Russia detects that the United States is firing nukes at them.
So this happened in September 26, 1983, so the year I was born.
Yeah.
I would have been, like, 3 months old at this point. And the world would have ended in nuclear fire. And you wouldn't be able to hear my dulcet tones on the podcast, and that would be terrible. So, Stanislav Petrov was a lieutenant colonel of the Soviet Air Defense Force who played a key role in the 1983 Soviet nuclear false arm incident. On 26 September 1983, 3 weeks after the Soviet military had shot down Korean Airlines Flight 007, Petrov was a duty officer at the command center of the Oko Nuclear Early Warning System when the system reported that a missile had been launched from the U.S., followed up by 5 more. Petrov judged the reports to be a false alarm, and his decision to disobey orders against Soviet military protocol is credited with having prevented an erroneous retaliatory nuclear attack on the United States and its NATO allies that could have resulted in large-scale nuclear war. Investigations later confirmed that the Soviet satellite warning system had indeed malfunctioned. So this guy's willingness to be like, nah, that's a bug.
Yeah.
Saved the world. And for that, we salute him today. He died in May 2017 at age 77. And ultimately, like, he wasn't drummed out, but he did eventually get forced out of the military because they couldn't admit they'd fucked up. They couldn't reward him.
Because it would look... They'd be admitting they fucked up.
Yeah, and then they have to punish the scientists. So inevitably, they, like, got him on a technicality. Like, it's in the Wikipedia article for this guy that he was drummed out because he didn't document what was going on enough for them. And his response to that was, like, I had a phone in one hand and an intercom in the other, and I don't have 3 hands.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't matter. He saved the world, and now you guys know a little bit more about Stanislav Petrov. I'll include a link to his Wikipedia article in the show notes, and you can educate yourself further. So,
thank you for not letting us all die.
Yes, because, man, getting vaporized at 3 months old would be a bummer. I mean, I wouldn't know, because I'd be vaporized, but still. That's a big bucket of win for the week, you know? Because this week has been, well, let's just say, this is the dumbest week in American politics to be eclipsed by every week following until we all die.
Yeah.
So we will get to that. And of course, also, anything we say on this episode is probably going to be wrong by the time it gets out tomorrow.
Because something else stupid Saturday. Or
yeah, something else will have popped up about this. Maybe Trump will have shit himself to death in a rage. We can only hope.
Oh, God, wouldn't that be wonderful?
But, so we're just going to take a quick alert of the stop that, you know, one thing we like to shit on here is TERFs, because fuck TERFs. TERFs are bad, and their current bugaboo, especially in the UK, is women's sports.
Right. Oh, and rollerball. Roller derby, yeah.
So, this was an article by Fair Play for Women. They're the TERFs in this case. And they were complaining about how, oh no, the transes are getting into roller derby. And many people within the roller derby community have been like, excuse you. No.
Yeah.
The person replying is like, there's so many factual errors in the so-called article that it really takes place in a parallel universe. A few. You don't have to be over age 18 to play derby. There are many junior leagues. WFTDA's adoption of the gender policy was not stealthy. It was widely publicized and applauded. The rules listed are out of date. It's almost like the writer's not actually interested or concerned with the sport of roller derby and just wants to be gross about trans people.
Yeah, but funny that.
Another person replies, I skate with Brisk Roller Derby and we've been open to all genders for 9 years, and to me this sounds like garbage. One of the best things about roller derby is that any shape, size, or build can compete and be effective. Your physicality arguments aren't wanted here. So it was weird because, like, roller derby is pretty fun. I think we didn't we have roller derby at we had that Fiesta 1 year, or was it some other event that
it was,
we were at?
It was Con DFW.
Yeah.
No, not Con DFW. It was All Con.
All Con.
You and I
went. Yeah, and they had it in the room that I had my dealer's dead end.
Yes, yeah, which was not a huge room.
But they still set up the dance floor and were doing roller derby on this tiny little space.
Yeah, it was like a demo session, basically, to kind of talk about it.
Assassination City Roller Derby.
That's right.
That's the local group. They're still around, too.
Yeah.
Cool. And I love their name.
Yeah, yeah. For a long time, apparently, that was actually Dallas's nickname, for obvious reasons. You don't really hear that much these days. Like, I think Dallas has gotten enough of its own reputation as a city.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
We're not commonly referred to as Assassination City anymore.
Yeah, because, I mean, Fort Worth is called Panther City, but that's that's just calling the city extremely boring.
Why Panther City? Were there actual wild panthers there?
No, the reason it's called Panther City is that a journalist or writer of some sort in the Dallas paper was claiming that Fort Worth is so boring that a panther escaped from a zoo and was found asleep on Main Street. And thus they took the moniker Panther City.
Oh my God.
And there's multiple things in Fort Worth that refer to themselves as Panther City. The city, like the police logo, has a panther on it. There's the Panther Island Pavilion.
And it's the city that sleeps on Main Street
The city's so boring that a panther would fall asleep on Main Street.
Oh my God, that's funny as hell.
Yeah. So, Assassination City, that is kind of new. But, well, not new, but kind of new to me. I didn't really know that.
Yeah.
But yeah, roller derby, like, Turf's getting mad about roller derby is just one of the silliest things because, yeah, it's a sport for rough and tumble people. If you're a 6-foot-tall trans woman who wants to roller derby, congratulations, you're wanted on that team because you can play a role.
Mm-hmm. But there were women of all sizes and shapes on that team, you know, because your little skinny people are, like, really fast and moving around, but then you've got your larger, beefier people are good for, like, shoving other people the fuck out the way. And, you know,
like this whole thing about, the purity of women's sport, you know, the purity of checks and notes, roller derby.
Yeah. Cause it's something different every other month, you know?
Yeah.
And the purity of the Olympics, the purity of women's soccer,
of rugby, you know, I'm sure they'd probably complain about water polo if they could, you know?
Yeah.
It's whatever the thing of the moment they can complain about, but honestly, roller derby is one of the least accepting of their nonsense things ever. And honestly, like, if you have a chance, like, roller derby is also regarded as one of those quote-unquote trashier things by a lot of folks because it's women being physical in a sport.
Yeah.
Oh, no. They're not, like, doing lacrosse or whatever. It's physical and they hit each other and raw, you know, they're big and beefy.
Apparently you've never seen lacrosse.
Well, I'm saying stereotypically. I've seen lacrosse and they whack each other.
Oh, like, yeah.
They have sticks and they use them, but it's not widely viewed as it's not a girly thing, you know? And I'm saying this quotation figures. That was just a opening.
just fuck turfs. God, just, there's no reason to be like that. You know?
Yeah. And speaking of fuck turfs, Cosmo UK actually has written an article about, like, what you need to know about turfs. And they're basically like, let's call them what they actually are, anti-trans activists. Mm-hmm. And needless to say, the turfs on the UK Twitter were extremely mad and cross. And the article is still there. Mm-hmm. And
good for Cosmo.
Yeah, like, there are people like, I've reported this for hate speech against women. Turf is a slur. No.
I mean, it is a slur because you're a fucking cunt.
It's their own thing. That's a phrase they themselves use. They refer to themselves that they are trans exclusive and that they are trans excluding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's their brand is like, oh, well, you know, we're feminists, but we hate transes. So we're turfs. We're trans exclusive, right? Feminists. And so people now have taken their term and they're just like, Shut the fuck up, Turf.
It's literally just the initials.
Yeah.
You know, T-E-R-F. Of like, and they're trying to claim it's a slur.
It's yeah, like, it's like, nope.
And what's stupid about it is companies like Twitter fucking believe them.
Well, Twitter has really badly gameable algorithms, too.
Yeah, yeah.
A big enough turd retweets it. You know, I had that response to Casey Explosion and mentioning the, like, I ran a blockchain on Glinner on Graham Linehan a while ago.
Yeah.
He had 136,000 followers or so. That took a while.
Right.
But it was worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I opened the tweet that Casey had retweeted, it was blocked. Everybody was blocked except Pepper replying to Glinner saying, "Ho's mad."
That's right. I saw you screen cap that and send it to Pepper.
Yeah. So,
"Ho's mad."
And yeah, because it's worth it to just get those people out of your fucking space. And also, that means that, like, A, you're not going to run across their stuff, and B, they can't reply to you.
Right.
So, like, it sanitizes your Twitter experience to a little degree and also gets them out of your sight. Though, now that you can, it's like, you see the little, like, this is from a tweet from somebody you blocked, but you can still click to show it, and it's always tempting to be like, but what did they say?
Yeah, and sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I've noticed the little button.
Well, like, sometimes it does serve a purpose, though, because I'll see a tweet from some, but it's like, this tweet is from somebody you blocked, but they're in, like, a rather innocuous furry, like, reply, and I'm like, who the fuck is this? And I'll click and I'll look at them, and it's probably just like a false positive. They got caught somewhere along the way.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, well, you're not being a shit within like the past week or so of your tweets. And I'm looking at tweets and replies, so
yeah.
I was probably wrong and I can unblock them. But
yeah,
like, that's the only real drawback to blockchaining, is that sometimes you catch people that probably don't know better. But, you know, when you're blocking larger asshole accounts that you don't want to see, more often than not, if you're following somebody on Twitter.com, you do agree with them on some level. I don't believe in the idea that, oh, you need to follow people that hate you to really get an idea of what they think. Not on Twitter.com. It's not going to do you any good. So that's how people get caught up in blockchains, I think. At least for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah.
Yeah, I tried that, those blockchain extensions you or somebody else linked me to, and I couldn't get it to work.
They are a little fiddly. Like, you have to make sure that you have the right permissions, and Twitter likes to, like, bug out and log you out whenever you do it for whatever reason, because it's like, oh, this is automated activity, you shouldn't do that. And I'm like, well, too bad.
Uh-huh.
It just, like, logs you out and you have to relog, and it's not a big deal.
Maybe it's a permissions thing.
I don't know. Again. Like, but
did you have to go and enable it as an app on your Twitter account or something?
I'm not sure. I don't remember. I did it a while back.
Yeah.
But it's Twitter blockchain for Firefox and Chrome. And yeah. You can clean your timeline up quite a bit with it. I encourage it. I always will tell people about that whenever they're like, hey, how do I block all the weebs? And I'm like, well, what you do is you find a really odious big account and you don't have anybody that you know following it. And then you block everybody following them.
Right.
And eventually, there's a lot less shitty weebs in your mentions.
And a lot of times, those blockchains will not block people that you're already following.
Yeah. So you won't accidentally lose people you're following.
Right.
Though you can lose people that follow you.
Yeah.
But if I fucking blockchain to the Ranting Griffin and I lose a couple followers, I think that's probably a win for me.
Mm.
Because
I'm not following two or another odious person, but like, I have them unblocked, and mainly so that, like, I could see if, like, somebody replies to him and I could be like, oh, what fucked up stupid thing did he say today or something like that.
I see that enough in, like, screen caps.
Yeah, I guess the caps get around.
Because, like, I can reliably count on people that I follow on Twitter.com to be like, oh, look at this asshole, he's opening his mouth again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. And not great. So shifting to something actually is super positive and cool.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel is actually really well done, too. Mm-hmm. So Mattel is releasing a new line of dolls.
Yes.
Called the Creatable World, which basically, they're non-binary dolls.
Yeah.
Faces are pretty androgynous. They come with a variety of clothing options, which are very much what a non-binary person can wear.
And, like, hair options.
Like, the hair options, like, they have one mask, one femme hairstyle. And, like, you can mix and match, and it's like, look, you can, this doll can be whoever you want it to be, and it's for everybody to play with.
Yeah.
And they're actually not a bad price. It's $30 for the doll, but it comes with at least two full outfits, two hairstyles, and some other interchangeable stuff.
That sounds like reasonable.
That's a reasonable ass price.
What's the price of an average Barbie these days, you know?
A basic ass Barbie in a cheap dress? Back when I worked at Toys R Us, that was like $10, but I don't really know.
Time has passed.
That's been 20 years.
Yeah, it's been 5 million years since I last worked at Toys R Us. Actually, it has been 15 years.
I wouldn't be surprised if they were double that price now, if they were like $20.
So let's see, Barbie dolls and toys and games. Barbie Fashionista doll, a single doll that has shoes and an outfit of some sort, so like shoes, glasses, and a shirt, dress, slash skirt thing, is retail price $10. Or $7.94, because it's on sale for Amazon Prime.
I guess I want to keep the basic ones pretty entry level. Because, yeah, it's sort of like Apple. It's like once your child buys into the Barbie ecosystem, then you want to get Ken and Skipper and the house and the car and everything. You make your basic Barbie $8-$10.
So here's something it's Amazon being fucky. So Barbie Fashionista doll, $132 with wheelchair Barbie, comes with a wheelchair and a ramp. And the white doll is $18.99, but the black doll is $20. Then there's Barbie Made to Move doll, which is more articulation, is $15. So a $30 version that comes with a bunch of accessories, that's not too bad. Because it's a different set of, it's two sets of hair, two sets, full sets of clothing plus accessories.
Did you see the Onion article? I just saw the headline that was like responding to criticism of their gender neutral dolls. Mattel releases a doll that is entirely covered with genitals.
I had not seen that one, but back when I worked at Toys R Us, it was always one of those things where I always hated to see parents tell their kids, no, you can't have that. That's a blank toy. And I would see it all the damn time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, mm-hmm. not that this would necessarily get the parents that would be like, no, this is a blank, this is a girl toy, this is a boy toy.
Yeah.
But it does present an option for kids who are interested in that and whose parents aren't assholes.
Yeah. I remember reading this story a few years ago on Twitter, and it was like a mom and dad with their child. And I don't remember the gender of the child or the intended gender of the toy involved. But it was one where their kid was trying to buy, showed interest in a toy that was the opposite gender that they were or whatever. And the dad was all like, I think it was probably a boy, because it was the dad that was all like, he can't play with that, you know? And the mom apparently got this fucking icy gaze and was like, if he wants that, we're going to buy it for him. Basically like, fuck you, dad. You know, we're not going to conform to these rigid gender stereotypes.
Okay, so actually, now that I'm on the Mattel shop.mattel.com website, and it has the more details about the dolls. So they are the higher articulation, so they have the better knee joints and shoulders. So it's a fully articulated doll, kind of along the lines of the Monster High. So Monster High dolls are really high quality.
Aren't they kind of like Bratz Monster High?
Yeah, so, but they're the slightly bigger. Uh-huh. They have more points of articulation. They're generally higher quality than your Barbie doll because they only have like single angle. Like they don't rotate their wrists. They just move their legs up and down.
Right.
So yeah, Monster High dolls are actually generally really good quality. And so this looks like it's a same general philosophy. And the kit that they show for the copper straight hair version, so they've got a, you know, short hair, long hair, leggings, shorts, three pairs of shoes, glasses, a hat, a skirt, and two tops, one a jacket, actually three tops. So it's three full outfits that you can mix and match. And so you can just make the doll look however the hell you want.
Also includes a gun and roller derby outfit. So yeah, you can mix and match.
Well, and like, you know, you can mix and match. So they have one where it's like, okay, well, the doll's got the basketball jersey and the shorts and the ball cap, or the paint spattered shorts and the white shirt and the long hair, or the short hair with the jacket and a skirt and a bag, you know. So like, you can mix and match. It's okay. A cool toy. Yeah. And like, yeah, kids, you know, deserve cool toys.
What I'm thinking, like, outside of the obvious gender implications, are like, every child is different, you know. And, like, they're going to maybe want to make a doll that looks like them, or they're going to want to have a doll that they can change the hairstyle and just pop one hair off and put another one on and things like that. And it just seems to make sense to me as a more variable toy. Probably last a kid longer if you can constantly change how they look.
Yeah, and all the clothing and hair is interchangeable as well, so mm-hmm. you know, you buy these.
And I guess I think they have multiple races as well, because yep. the pictures I saw initially were all African American, but the yep. one you just showed me was white.
They've got darker skin African American, like Hispanic or light skin African American, white, Asian, then they have like curly blonde curly hair, brown straight hair, wavy brown hair, straight black braided hair. It's like they've got the full range of characters that you would expect in a doll line. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, that's cool. You know, like kids could play with whatever they want and parents should not be jerks about what their kid wants to play with.
You can get the white one, put the braids on and be like one of the twins in the Matrix.
Yes. Well, except the braids are black. They have white braids. They were remember they were albinos.
It's an AU.
Oh, okay. I wish that part of the Matrix was better explained, because that was a neat sequence, and like as a brief diversion, like the twins being basically earlier programmed, so they were like the cryptids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how like the Merovingian was a vampire even though he was just a program.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not really here or there.
Yeah.
That's the Matrix, and that just came out in a very long time ago.
1999. This is literally the 20th anniversary of the Matrix.
Well, that was in Matrix 2 or 3 with
I think, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember I went to him on a date.
I remember when I saw the, this is a diversion, but like, I remember when I saw the Matrix in the movies, it was like, everyone had heard of this movie but me. Like, the local furs were like, because I used to set up the movie meets back when I lived in Florida, and a bunch of local furs were like, are you setting up a meet to go see the Matrix? And I'm like, what's the Matrix? And they're like, you haven't heard of the Matrix? And so, you know, people link me to the trailer and stuff like that, which I did not pull up immediately on my iPhone and stream over 5G because this was 1999.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, let me get home and download this on my shitty broadband, you know, Comcast.
Woo. 1 megabit. Ooh. Ooh.
And so, yeah, we eventually went and see it. But it was really weird. Like, this was like a big cultural phenomenon movie that I had not heard of until like a week or two before it actually opened. I somehow missed all the advertising.
And there was a lot of it.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened, because I was like super into movies back then. Like, I would go see like probably 20 movies a year, and now I'm, you know, lucky if I see one or two. Nowadays, I think it's really just the Marvel movies, and I'll skip those if nobody sets up a meet. Like, I didn't see either Ant-Man movie the theater, and like, I don't know if I was going to go see Captain Marvel, but Tieran was like, hey, a bunch of us are all going to see Captain Marvel on opening night at this nice restaurant movie theater, and I was like, okay, I'll come, because I don't have to drive. I don't like seeing movies on opening night, because I don't like dealing with the parking and the crowds and stuff like that. But when someone else is offering to drive and the seats are reserved, I'm like, okay.
Fair.
Make it as low pain for me as possible, you know?
Yeah. I mean, that's how it is a lot of movies nowadays. It's like, oh, we're going to go see it? Or will I wait a few months and watch it on the home theater?
Yeah.
Like, I still haven't seen either Avengers Endgame or the new Spider-Man movie.
I have not seen the new Spider-Man movie. That somehow just completely passed me by. And I didn't even hear about it hitting the theater, but I know I can buy it on iTunes already, so.
It was good.
Oh, I don't doubt it's good. I think Tom Holland's a really good Spider-Man, but.
Yeah.
Also, like, I had shit going on this summer when it was coming out, so.
That's true.
Yeah. You had a lot of shit. I didn't
take the time to go see it.
Yeah.
That, thankfully, is calmed down. Like, I saw my parents here yesterday, and they're doing better. Their health is better and all that fun stuff. So, here's another fun good thing.
Okay.
Well, it's good for the greater herd, but not good for the kids who parents are fucking them up.
I heard about this, yeah.
So, unvaccinated children are now barred from going to school in New York, and their anti-vax parents are really mad. So, it's just a headline. This summer, amidst the worst measles outbreak in decades, New York passed a law that says children who are not vaccinated can't attend classes, and it went into effect this week. It's an article by Ellie Hall, BuzzFeed News reporter. And it is basically what it says on the tin.
Yeah.
If your kid, if you refuse to participate in getting your kid vaccinated against extremely common communicable diseases that are very easily spread in schools, you don't get to send your kid to school.
Because your kid can send it to someone who can't get.
Your kid is a ticking time bomb for all sorts of reasons.
Yeah.
How does that impact the students that, you know, can't get immunized?
Well, they would, they probably have a medical exemption, which if they wrote the law right, that would be honored.
Yeah.
And I know the issue they ran into in, I think it was California or maybe one of the other Pacific Northwest states a few years ago, was they found like an anti-vax doctor that was just writing medical exemptions left and right so that all these people could exempt themselves out of getting their kids vaccinated. And the state actually changed the law and restricted the reasons and like, no, you actually have to like provide proof now, which, so, you know, couple of shithead doctors basically ruined it for everybody. Like kids that actually really do need to not have vaccinations because of an immune problem or
may now have to go through a lot more hoops.
Exactly. Yeah. So these douchebags just made it harder on kids whose lives are already a little bit harder. Yeah. Fuck anti-vaxxers. I'm totally for that law. It's just, it's just so ridiculous that in the 21st century it feels like we're so in the future now. We've got like all this technology we only dreamed about in the 80s, but in some ways society's going backwards when it's like, oh, measles is coming back. What was the other one that was like, it was almost wiped out and then it popped up again recently?
Was it polio?
Was it polio?
Well, polio in like the Philippines, I think.
Yeah,
is back.
That sounds right. Yeah, it was either polio or smallpox. I think you're right. It was polio, but
I think smallpox was properly eradicated, but so it was polio. Because that stuff just kills you. Like it's super. Doesn't mess around. And like measles.
Yeah.
And if polio doesn't kill you, I remember seeing the guys at my dad's Mason Lodge, and like one side of their body is shrunken and atrophied.
What?
It's a horrible fucking disease.
That's why President Roosevelt was in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
He was a polio survivor, because I don't think they had the vaccine when he was a child.
Nope.
So he had had polio as a child, and so he was in a wheelchair the rest of his life. And it's not like back in the day when people were like, there's a whole generation of people, I think mostly boomer age, that are like, they have a polio scar because the inoculation.
It was a big shunk.
Yeah, it left a big fucking mark on your body forever. But hey, you won't die or be handicapped from polio. When I was a kid, it was a sugar cube that you just melted on your tongue. I don't know what they're giving kids now for it, but like even in the 80s, it'd come a long way, you know, and it was completely painless.
And everybody from school comes in, everybody gets dosed.
Mm-hmm. I think they probably did that and checking your spine for the thing. What's the thing again?
Scoliosis.
Scoliosis, yeah. Right, yeah.
See, nowadays, I mean, I just got a shot. I don't remember what, if there's anything further, and I certainly don't have, like, a polio scar.
Yeah.
I know, I need to check my measles immunity, because I got an MMR as a kid.
Well, yeah, and that's the thing, like, we're old enough that it's probably lost its efficacy, because, you know, I'm 36 and y'all are in your 40s.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be a real problem. Like if somebody shows up at a con we're at and they've got measles, because that stuff spreads like mad if you aren't vaccinated.
So what I'm not sure about, and that I would have to ask a doctor about, is I had measles and mumps as a child. So after that, I have a natural immunity, and I don't know whether that lasts your whole life or whether it becomes less effective like the shot does. But then again, I also know I would have also gotten the shots because I think everyone had to get them coming into the country in order to get into the American school system. They wanted to vaccinate.
Now, did you have the measles and such over in the UK?
Yes.
So before you even got here.
Yeah. So I had measles and mumps in the UK, but they had a vaccination program in elementary school to get into the U.S. system, so I had to get the shot anyway. Which, I mean, I was 8, so I don't fucking remember it or anything. It wasn't a big traumatizing experience.
Just a shot.
Yeah, it just... I saw this this amazing video the other day. I don't know if you guys saw it on Twitter, of a doctor giving a very young baby their first shots. And he was, like, keeping the baby amused and stuff. And then was like, boom, shot, keep them amused. And it was like the baby didn't even feel it. Like, it just someone, a pediatrician who had a really good bedside manner with young children, was able to vaccinate this baby who was probably like a year and a half or two. I think my sister told me when my niece got her first shots, and it was either 12 or 18 months or something. They do it pretty early.
The needles they have nowadays are whisper thin.
Yeah.
Like, I got my flu shot here a couple days ago and barely feel it.
Yeah, yeah, I got mine too.
They're doing them for free at my work next month, so I'm going to be getting mine then.
Most insurances, like, I got at the Target down the street from me, and they gave me a $5 coupon. So it says, like,
so you didn't pay for it. You got $5.
Yeah, I got back. $5, and then I bought a shower curtain. You know, nice. Very, very, you know, adult ass things.
I need to totally buy a shower curtain. Finally,
get your vaccinations, people, for goodness sake. You know, if not for yourself, but for the people around you that can't, immunocompromised people, and
just do it for Togo and Balto.
Yes.
Who cry in doggy heaven whenever a child doesn't get vaccinated.
Yes. What was an artist's name for that? They've done the vaccinate your kids.
And it's the version of Balto from the movie Balto. And what I really like about that pin is hanging underneath him is a little vaccination needle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It just says vaccinate your kids.
It just says vaccinate your kids. I'm totally adding that to my lanyard when I get it.
Those are really cool.
It's kind of funny because, like, all my rational, informed adult friends who got vaccinated as children are all, like, what we're doing, talking about, I should go and get, like, a booster to my vaccinations because it's been 15, 20 years. And I'm just wondering how big that trend is of adults that know better getting vaccinated again, whereas they wouldn't have thought twice about it before. Because all this anti-vax stuff is in the news and everything. Yeah.
Well, I have enough health issues as it is. I don't need to fight some weird-ass communicable disease that you don't normally encounter. I mean, that's the thing, is like measles and mumps and rubella and all this other shit was gone for the longest time. And we've allowed it to come back in some areas via just complacency and thinking you know better than fucking science.
Yeah.
So
the thing that worries me actually is shingles, because I had chicken pox as a kid.
And I had shingles like 2 years ago.
Oh, God, really?
Yep.
Wow. You're like the second person younger than 50 I've heard of in the last couple weeks that has got, because it's not normally shingles is supposed to hit you after you're 50 something, if it's going to happen.
I got a very mild case of it. It just showed up as like a rash on my ribs that looked kind of weird.
I heard it's painful, though.
Mine was not painful. Like, okay. I said, it was just very weird, worrisome looking. But the VP, so like two tiers up from me at work, got it last year, and he was out for like 2.5 weeks with it.
Yeah.
And there's an interesting theory on that, why folks are getting it younger and younger. And it's because you're not being reminded as much. So it used to be, like when I was a kid, when somebody in the local social circle came down with chickenpox, they would pack, if it was a good time, they would pack all the kids up and you would all go have a chickenpox party.
Yep.
Which means that you basically, everybody's going to get it. So let's control when we get it. So it would be like, use their bed, you know, like put out bedding over sleeping bags, you know, basically try to maximize exposure. So if it's on vacation or something, you're not missing school, da da da.
Right.
I remember going to a couple of these before I came down with it completely outside of any of those exposures. What they're thinking is like, okay, so you've just exposed your kids have all gone through it, your body's been re-exposed to it, so your immunity gets refreshed. Because it's like, oh, yeah, this is what that thing is. And it you know.
You've got enough antibodies left in you just to build it up again.
Also, your body remembers how to manufacture them.
Right.
And they're thinking that because the shots have become so prevalent, adults aren't getting re-exposed to the virus. So
they're getting shingles.
So they're not getting the reminder that keeps their immune system on its toes. Mm. So your immunity lapses. And of course, if you've got shingles once, or you've had chickenpox once, it's always dormant in, I think it's your spine. And it reactivates, and that's where you get shingles, because it basically irritates the nerve and manifests, you know, as that rash thing.
So I just found an article. It said the CDC recommends that people 60 years and older get a shingles vaccine. And I'm like, people should probably get it before that, then, if people are getting it. Because I'd thought it was 50.
Yeah, so there's a trend of it, people getting it younger and younger. And they're thinking that's because people aren't getting the reminder of, oh, fuck, this is what chickenpox is. Let me crank up my immune system.
Right. Yeah, I might look into that. You know, it depends how bad the vaccine is, if I need to take time off or whatever. But
I wonder if, as the vaccinated generation gets older, they don't get the same infection. I don't think that they carry the infection in their spine, like dead virus, like we do. So I wonder, you know, once that generation gets older themselves, if they're just not going to have the whole shingles thing. It's basically our generation would be the last to have this kind of reoccurring thing.
Right. So did you have chicken pox as a kid, Siren?
Yep. I sure did.
We should have a shingles party and I'll go get vaccinated.
Yeah, I was like, maybe get vaccinated.
I don't want to catch shingles. I want to get vaccinated for it.
I wonder if I need it because I just had it.
That's definitely a ask your doctor
kind of thing. Like, a couple things to ask my doctor about vaccination.
Like, how often shitty ass doctor has been refusing to refill my asthma meds, but if I go in to be like, look, bitch, give me vaccinations and give me my meds, you asshole, maybe they'll give me my meds.
Why are they refusing to give you your asthma
meds? I don't know. Like, it has literally been 2 weeks. I have been calling them and being like, hey, refill my shit. And they're like, well, the doctor will get back with you. And they don't get back with me.
Oh, God.
And I'm down to, like, a week of my asthma meds. And so
it might be a matter of just driving over there.
I might do that.
And say, look.
It's like, show the fuck up and be like, look, bitch. I don't care about your shitty little clinic. I just need my asthma medication. I like to keep breathing. What the fuck? But maybe go get an MMR booster.
Do you go to Neighborhood Medical?
Huh?
On Beltline?
Some crummy little clinic. It's a low-income clinic down off Marsh, but it was the one that could get me in the day I needed to.
Right.
Because my previous GP retired.
Right.
After my previous GP also retired. So I was like, I just need a doctor to get me a refill on my meds.
Yeah.
And it just happened to be that they answered the phone and could get me in that day.
Right.
As opposed to, like, a week or two from then.
Yeah.
So, anyways, vaccinations are important, and doctors returning your calls are also very important. So, I'm going to have to just go be terse with...
So, if you're a doctor and you're listening to the show, call your patients back.
Yeah, because it's been important. It's been a damn week.
Because I've had to... It's been like pulling teeth sometimes getting a prescription refill out of my doctor's office. And yeah. I've had to... there's been days where I've had to call the pharmacy, the doctor, and my insurance company in like a round robin of people. And I'm sort of like, you guys should be able to figure this shit out by yourself without the patient taking an afternoon of their time and nudging everybody along in the right direction, you know?
Like, hey guys, yeah.
So, yeah. That this is us being old, but also being reminders to say, hey, get your vaccinations.
So one I had, I may have mentioned this, I don't remember, but it was like when I threw out my back like 4, 5, 6 months ago or whatever, my doctor gave me 3 medications for it. It was like an anti-inflammatory, a muscle relaxant, and a painkiller. And one of them, the dose, he wrote the dose at 7.5, whatever unit. And the insurance company, their list of approved things for this medication was a dose of 5 and a dose of 10. So when it came in at 7.5, they denied the claim. And I had to go back and be like, hey, and even the rep at the insurance company was like, this is really weird. I've never seen them do this before. They usually leave it to doctor's discretion what dose they're going to give you. But in this case, they specify it has to be 5 or 10. So I had to call my doctor's office back and be like, hey, here's what the insurance company says. And they apparently told them, but I guess their slacker or overworked office staff had not checked the messages yet. And I'm like, I'm in agony from my back. I need you guys to go and get on your shit.
I hurt. Please.
Yeah.
Please help.
So shifting topics. To old people complain about their health, which is us.
I also got these hairs in my ear that are... Oh, go ahead.
Hush.
Hush, old man. Silence, boomer.
Oh, no. So, let's see. There's a couple things I'm like, we can quick hit because it's one of those things where it's like, we don't really want to have to waste a bunch of time talking about it, but... Uh-huh. To the Ranting Griffin continues to be one of the worst people in the furry fandom.
Oh, God, yes. This thing, yeah. So,
following up on last week's Milo Yana Banana bullshit, he's now basically hanging out with the furry raiders saying that they need to destroy the fandom. They need to close down our quote-unquote conferences via...
This is Milo threats. Saying this,
yeah, this way. Is Milo saying this. And everyone's like, wow, you know, at this point, honestly, Con should have a list of the furry raiders and just ban them on site if they show up in Reg.
It's like, so strange, too, because they throw blame at Dio and claim that she shut down RMFC. And also, for some reason, that she fucked over a BLFC and Anthrocon. I'm like, well, those cons seem to be running fine, so... They're just pulling shit out of their ass. But they're like, RMFC is dead because of Dio, but it was actually dead because of Raiders. And now we see these screen caps of Milo saying, we need to shut down all the conferences, and the Raiders are agreeing with them. And it's like...
Yeah, quote-unquote, take back the furry fandom, they say.
By having no cons? How? How is that taking back the furry fandom?
They're like, if we can't be Nazis in your space, you can't have a con. Well, no, fuck you. But yeah, to the Randy Griffin's like, well, no, I'm going to interview Milo. And basically, yeah, so two of the worst people getting together to make an even worse combo.
Yeah.
Whoop-de-fuck. I hope they both get hit by trains.
It's like an awful Voltron.
Yeah, a Voltron made of shit. Fuck them.
It's two little pieces of shit that come together to form a bigger piece of shit.
By their powers combined,
they are shit.
Stink up the place. Let's see, the other thing, so the big news of the day, which I've barely been able to keep track of at this point because it's so just
I was at work dumb. All day, so I haven't read any of the articles actually going into detail about everything that's going all on. All right,
so this is the American politics section of the show, where we get to talk about what incomprehensible bullshit has come to light today. And today, and by the time this reaches your ears, it will be out of date.
Yeah.
But basically, it seems like it boils down to the TLDR. The course of my official duties, I have received information from multiple U.S. government officials that the President of the United States is using the power of his office to solicit interference from a foreign country in the 2020 U.S. elections. This interference includes, among other things, pressuring a foreign country to investigate one of the President's main domestic political rivals. The President's personal lawyer, Mr. Rudolph Giuliani, is a central figure in this effort, and Attorney General Barr appears to be involved as well. This is relating to Trump.
Right.
Basically withholding military aid to the Ukraine if they would not investigate Joe Biden's fail son.
Apparently Trump promised the president of Ukraine that he would get Russia out of Crimea.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's a big fucking promise, dude.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you're going to help Ukraine get Russia out of Crimea?
Your buddy Putin is not going to for that. Yeah.
You're trying to play both sides here, my dude. That's a big promise that you're trying to make.
Yeah.
And
I mean, maybe he's...
This isn't some little contractor you can weasel out of.
Maybe he's going to tell them that Ukraine will build a wall between Crimea and Russia, and Putin will pay for it.
Yeah, and in addition to this, they also were, surprise, surprise, taking the transcripts and putting them on a private server. Goodness.
If only this wasn't, you know, illegal. What was it? But her emails.
I know. Yes. Yeah.
It's naked ass corruption. And on one hand, all right, Pelosi finally sort of maybe kind of potentially looked toward maybe possibly potentially eventually getting around to impeachment proceedings. But apparently they're also taking a 2-week recess.
Yeah, I don't get that.
I don't fucking get this.
I mean, maybe she finally had Paul Ryan's missing spine implanted in her, but it hasn't fully taken root yet.
Yeah, it seemed like such a poor time. It's like, wow, all this massive bullshit hit the fan today. You know, Trump was tweeting all in caps, like this huge amount of tweets, and then deleted them all like a very stable adult. Yeah. And now you're taking a vacation? It's such a fucking political circus right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's super naked corruption, and like, we're doing this gamesmanship with, like, oh, we're waving our dicks at Iran last week. Oh, we're waving our dicks at Russia. We're trying to make backroom deals to get the Ukraine to investigate Biden's fail son for his weird deal.
Well, apparently, Tieran and I were talking about this. Apparently, Hunter Biden didn't actually do anything wrong.
Oh, no. He's just a weird fail son.
He was just on the board of a Ukrainian company because rich people are on the boards of companies, and apparently he wasn't even really that involved. And so apparently the thing that happened was Biden had asked for them to investigate this attorney in the Ukraine, and he didn't do this on behalf of the Obama administration or the United States. He actually did it on behalf of the world. It was like a UN mandate or something, and he was the one that had to go and be like, hey, investigate this super corrupt attorney that basically all of Europe is like, this guy is super fucking corrupt and needs to be investigated. I mean, I think it was like a UN thing, like I said. So it wasn't like he was actually doing the right thing. And they're basically trying to swift vote Biden. They're trying to take something legal and good that he did and make it seem like it's something shady and duplicitous, which is exactly what they did to John Kerry. When they're like, John Kerry is a fucking Vietnam War hero, famously threw his medals away because he was protesting the war when he got home. Mm-hmm. And the Bush campaign and the right wingers tried to turn it around and make it seem like he was some kind of traitor, and he lost that election. And I guess their thinking is, well, it worked in 2004, so they're assuming that Biden is going to be the Democratic nominee, and he has been the front runner up until this point. So they're trying to basically swift vote Biden and cripple him into going into the general election, which
that's still like, you know, 6 months away before they even do the first fucking primaries.
I know, but it's like it's very clear and blatant political gamesmanship of trying to, because they did it with Hillary with the email thing, and now they're trying to do it with Biden to basically leave him discredited enough that he loses a general election if he's the nominee.
But at this point, it's like, it's backfired on them spectacularly, where it's like the media is not focusing on, oh, we're trying to imply that Hunter Biden did something weird and illegal, when no. But the attempt to force them by withholding like $200 billion of military aid.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to deny it didn't fucking happen. And I just saw a fucking tweet here that Giuliani corroborated the complaint by just opening his ghoulish, rotting mouth.
Yeah.
Because the ongoing concern is like he's trying to say like, oh, he had a meeting on a particular day. But then the complaint says, oh, yeah, on August 2nd, Giuliani reported like, we traveled to Madrid to meet with one President Zelensky's advisors, Andrew Yermak. So basically, Giuliani just tweeted like, oh, yeah, I had this iMessage from this guy that I met on the 2nd, which is also the same person listed as the follow-up person that he met with in the complaint. So he just corroborated the entire, like, thing. Giuliani is not the worst lawyer in the world, but he's really up there in terms of being a total fucking idiot.
Yeah.
But no, keep talking. And so basically the one of the tweets this morning that was it was deleted or might have been deleted, I wasn't sure, but it's like, all in caps, the Democrats are trying to destroy the Republican Party and all that it stands for. Stick together, play their game, and fight hard, Republicans. Our country is at stake. And honestly, God, I wish the Democrats were trying to actually destroy the Republican Party. That would be nice.
They need to, because the Republicans have been trying to destroy them for decades. You know, and the Democrats are all like, oh, our outstanding colleague friend across the aisle kind of bullshit. And it's like, no.
No, Republicans wouldn't piss on them if they're on fire.
No.
And so, like, it is basically the Democrats are playing like there's still this idea of bipartisanship when it was destroyed in the 90s by fucking Gingrich.
Yeah.
And has been continued under McConnell. Like, if there is no compromise with these suckers, you have to fight dirty and fight nasty with them.
Yeah.
Until we can, like, change our system of government to not be so that one fucker from Kentucky can hold everything hostage.
Yeah.
So I'll reiterate. We should abolish the Senate and guillotine McConnell.
So in the spirit of Stanislav Petrov, I want to mention another world hero who had died actually a fucking year ago. Wow. This like just hit Twitter like it just happened. But Freddy Oversteegen, who was born near Amsterdam, September 6, 1925, and raised by her communist mother. She was 14 when she joined the Dutch resistance. And with her older sister, Trush, and their friend, Hanny Schaft, they blew up bridges and railway tracks with dynamite, smuggled Jewish children out of concentration camps, and executed as many Nazis as she could, using a firearm hidden in the basket of her bike. And the headline was, "The harmless-looking girl who executed Nazis after seducing them in bars. World War II heroine who joined the Dutch resistance at age 14 dies aged 92. So, shout out to another hero.
To a real one.
Yeah. Who is most well known for killing Nazis. And I'm like, that is a good thing to leave this world being known for.
I agree.
So the other big topic thing that we had was not really so much about Greta Thunberg, but her weird horny detractors.
Yeah, this is just creepy. So, well, on that note, we should, before we go into this discussion about 16-year-olds, I should also mention the tweet I saw that libertarians hate AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, because her initials stole the initials of their number one political issue.
Yes.
Which is age of consent.
We hate AOC, and we hate the AOC.
Oh, yeah, no. It's like, you know, the libertarian platform, you know, my girlfriend shouldn't have to use a child seat.
Yeah. All right. So Greta Thunberg is the young, autistic, basically she is the current face of global climate change activism. You know, she's, you know, traveled around, given speeches at the UN, very straightforward and forthright in her speaking. And basically everybody on the right that's been attacking her has just gone nuts. Like, oh, you know, she's being used as a puppet. Oh, I can see the strings. Oh, she has fetal alcohol syndrome. Oh, she's mentally retarded. She can't say words. Like, the tweets about her have been extremely vile. But yeah. Then you get the ones where they're just kind of weirdly extremely horny about her.
Ableist also.
Yeah, like, it's really nasty to see. And the two that came up that were really impressively weird, of course, Ant-Man Ian Miles Chong was like, "If you think children have the emotional, intellectual, and psychological maturity to lead a global political campaign, then you probably think children have the sexual maturity to consent to sex."
If you're old enough to have an opinion, you're old enough to fuck. What the fuck kind of take is that?
Yeah. And then there is another one, and this one is from a guy named Justin Murphy, who he eventually had to like protect his account because people were like, "Excuse me, what the fuck?"
Yeah, this is one I pointed out. I have never seen a ratio like this.
Yeah, it
before.
Was something over like 10,000,
over 10,000 replies versus likes and retweets, like in the hundreds.
The ratio was very strong that day.
Yeah,
but this also a guy who described himself in his bio as a libertarian communist Catholic, which is a hell of a combo.
How does that even work?
Exactly. So the tweet verbatim is, "Not even being provocative, but if you think Greta Thunberg has a maturity to guide global policymaking, then you cannot object to Jeffrey Epstein paying 16-year-olds for sex."
I don't know about you, but I can totally hear her message about climate change affecting her generation more than mine and be like, Jeffrey Epstein was a shitty pedophile for paying children for sex.
But according to this Mr. Libertarian Communist Catholic.
Jesus Christ. I'm just
in, if you do search for her name and the word spanking, there's so many people that want to give her spankings. It was like that with David Hogg as well.
Yeah, the kid that survived the fucking Parkland gun massacre.
And as soon, like, as he started needs a talking spanking.
Yeah, like, what the fuck, man?
Excuse you? Then you get the really fucking weird ones, but they're like, oh god, if David Hogg and Greta Thunberg got together, that child would be Satan. Like, people like hate shipping these two real people in the world together and then hating their theoretical children.
Yeah.
It is the weirdest shit. It's extremely disturbing.
It is.
Like, I really don't like the conservative shipping that's going on right now.
It's like, let's argue about, like, the benefits of, you know, Apple Dash and Rarajack. How about that? Let's worry about that instead. And maybe get the synthesis where it's just a fucking herd situation. But that's okay. Let's not, like, ship real people. Even if it's like a hate ship, that's just really weird. Don't do that.
They're just so fucking weird.
They're children.
Yes.
Yeah. I bet the conservatives are just so fucking weird. It's
so bizarre to see. Yeah. Like, it's this weird brain rot that you, like, I've never gotten the whole, like, shipping real people together. I know that happened with, like, the Game Grumps people, Aaron, and not the other person that is not JonTron. And they were like, hey, we're both married to women. Could you please not? That's creepy.
Yeah.
Or like the people that ship YouTubers together and they have to be like, yo, what the fuck? Don't do that. Don't do that to YouTubers, and certainly don't do that to kids that get pushed into activist roles or doing activism. Because, again, that's just weird, y'all.
And
don't
creepy.
Do it.
The other thing that's strange is that, you know, the people who are attacking her who are saying that, like, she's been indoctrinated by her parents, which is, like, that's true of everybody. Everybody is indoctrinated by their parents. You grow up hearing their opinions about various issues, and sometimes you follow in their footsteps, and sometimes you go a complete 180, like Ron Reagan Jr. went a complete 180. But, like, years ago, conservatives were holding up. There's, like, that one little boy who was, like, 10 or 12, and they put him in a suit and tie and everything, and he was going on all the conservative talk shows and everything. You know, just saying all this Ayn Randian bullshit. And it's sort of like he wasn't coached and indoctrinated by his parents. You know, I don't remember how old he was. He was super young. He was like 10 or 12. This was probably 10 years ago by now. But it's just like, come on, guys. This goes both ways.
Ugh. God, let me find it.
You know what I think part of the problem is? She's a girl. She's a young woman, and she spoke at the UN because they freaked out when it's Emma Thompson that's in Harry Potter, right? I always get Emma Thompson and Emma Watson mixed up. Who played Hermione?
Watson.
It was Emma Watson, a few years back, spoke at the UN on women's issues. And, of course, all the fucking right-wingers are going crazy and, you know, why are we listening to this actress? Saying that, why are we listening to this little girl? And she was, like, 25 or something. And it's a lot of it, I think, is just misogyny. It's like, oh, a woman is giving a speech to the UN at this very important place to world leaders, and they just cannot fucking handle that.
Well, like, I was trying to find the dang story, because it's a similar one of those things where it's like, you know, everyone's like, oh, well, you know, they're indoctrinated. There was a famous case where this child preacher, like, he was a literal child who was being coached and forced for his parents to do, like, tent revivals and shit.
I think I vaguely remember this.
Yeah, I can't remember. I was looking on Google, and it's not being helpful, because there are many, many people who are child preachers that later came out as atheists.
Right.
And, like, this particular one, like, his parents were basically coaching him and forcing him to do this preaching, and they use it to make a shitload of money. And then later in life, he's like, yeah, my parents made me do that.
Yeah, and when you're, like, 8 or 10 or something like that, you can be easily talked into aping whatever your parents want to do. But Greta Thunberg is 16. By 16, you have fucking critical thinking ability.
Yeah, you can think a little bit for yourself in that case.
You know, like, if she didn't, I don't even know how her parents feel about climate change. I'm assuming that that they support her views, they support, you know, getting her to these places and being able to speak out. But like, if she didn't agree with their views, 16, you're old enough to be able to disagree with your parents.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That still doesn't mean you should want to fuck her, though.
Yeah, so it's going that back around to the, hey, these people are weirdly horny, don't do that.
Yeah, Jesus.
So we're going to stop and save real quick because we've kind of hit the end of our list. And then we've got a couple furry things and then an email and then we'll be good. So
all right.
Be right back. And we are back after some invigorating conversation. And we've realized that we failed to talk about the other giant fail son in the room. Mm-hmm. Fuzz, this is yours.
Good evening. This is the BBC World Service. I'm not good at accents.
It's okay.
Okay. So this happened between last podcast and this one. The latest developments in UK politics. When we last left our sad little island, Boris Johnson had suspended Parliament and fucked off to New York, apparently. And the British High Court has now come down and made a ruling that his suspending of Parliament in order to run out the clock on Brexit is illegal, and therefore Parliament is officially, legally, has to be back in session. So they were going to get together on, I think, Tuesday. They went back in session. And anyway, one of the newspapers over there, they put out the headline. It was a picture of Boris Johnson, and the headline just in these big, bold, black letter said, Boris, get your butt back here now.
Yeah.
So that's a real fuck you to him. And Saverin told me earlier tonight that Boris Johnson is now the PM to have the longest streak of his things he brought up for a vote in Parliament being smacked down, with 7, beating the previous holder, Boris Johnson, was 6.
Yes. He keeps racking up those L's, and yeah. I'm surprised he hasn't resigned in shame yet, but he has no shame because he was trying to fucking put Parliament on hold to stop the democratic process.
Yeah.
So that drama is ongoing.
Yeah. Like, and honestly, I could totally foresee him being Britain's William Henry Harrison, you know, being their shortest ever prime minister as far as term length goes, because I believe he's been PM less than a month so far, and people are already talking about having a snap general election after the end of October, after the Brexit situation should be finished. And if that happens, it's not looking good for the Conservatives. So that's the latest news in Britain. So Americans can't really rejoice, but can at least sort of feel that misery loves company, and we're not the only country whose leaders are completely failing us right now. So that's your update from the other side of the pond. Now I will re-engage my other citizenship, and we can talk about American issues again.
So you just downshifted for a moment?
Yeah, I literally did that, and Saverin didn't notice, and it's an audio medium, so she was the only one that saw.
Well, the other thing, now we can finally shift into some furry stuff.
Yay!
Because, hey, you know, it's the eternal summer of the eternal puphood discourse, except it's been pretty much handled at this point, because two particular things. There's a really good thread by Conreagh, Conreaght, talking about, hey, could you stop yelling at conventions about puphoods already? Because it's a thread with a lot of GIFs. Like, they clearly needed to, like, draw attention to every post by putting a GIF in it, because, I mean, it's twitter.com. But basically, it boils down to, cons aren't going to get rid of puphoods unless their venues demand it. And most venues don't give a shit.
Oh, wow. I took the total opposite reading of that thread.
Well, see, the way I looked at it was, like, basically, cons have basically decided it's not a big deal, but it will only be handled if the venue says, hey, we don't like this.
Right. And the way I read it was, don't bitch if a con says no puphoods till after 9 p.m., which is a rule that some cons have had, because that is probably a stipulation that the venue enforced on the con.
Yeah.
So don't go yelling. Maybe I didn't
read the thread closely enough, but we're basically coming to the same provision.
Right. Like, so don't go yelling and screaming at the convention if they ban pup hoods at a certain time. And also don't go screaming at the convention if they allow pup hoods at a certain time, I guess.
It's
both ways.
And after being on a con that's debated this for many, many years, it's also, you know, how big are you? Is the general public going to be in your space? Because that's a big concern, at least with TFF and having a major Dallas landmark run right through the middle of our freaking hotel. It's also worried about public image, and it's not just furry that we're worried about. We're worried about the hotel, other visitors in the hotel, international visitors coming to see the giant ball.
Well, there's the Hyatt does have the international Mr. Leather. No, it was the Texas Bear Roundup that is at that same venue. So it's like, oh, just pup hoods? Whatever. Like, what is our current policy on pup hoods?
I don't remember.
Yeah. And
it's in the Code of Conduct online.
Yeah, it's in the Code of Conduct online, and we're having a big meeting on Saturday to discuss that and make modifications. So, you know.
It's kind of like the annual review.
Yeah. But basically, the whole pup hoods are inappropriate for children to see. Whatever.
Most of the children don't know what the fuck they're looking
They're going to think, oh, cool pup mask.
Yeah. It looks like a dog.
And, like, the other thing that came out today, so there's the Masked Singer is getting a second season. Uh-huh. And basically, like, they get singers that are professional singers, and they put them in basically fursuits. And furry's got a big kick out of it.
It's a wide array of costumes, as long as it's completely covered.
Isn't that the Japanese one where Ryan Reynolds?
I don't know. But the American version here, they've got their people in animal costumes that are generally pretty good. And in this particular most recent one, there was a singing Doberman character, and in the background, they had backup singers.
Who were all wearing pup hoods.
Yep, and they were the rather common-looking ones that are, like, black with a secondary color, so there's, like, a black and purple one that they showed. So clearly, we need to ban singing Rottweilers in the halls, lest they summon a horde of pup hood-wearing backup dancers into the con space.
So, at what point, when something stops being fetish wear and starts being just a piece of costuming, does it go from naughty to normal? Or at least just not any more weird than anything else?
I mean, honestly, at this point, they're not exclusively fetish wear. Like, they don't have them at fucking Spirit Halloween, but they do have all sort. Okay, look, they have a very wide variety of quote-unquote union suits that are basically the dollar store fursuit-looking things. And they have an easy, like, 16 varieties at least. Sloth, wolf, squirrel, sexy deer, sexier deer, you know. The cat, it's sloth.
That's just completely nude with antlers and a deer tail.
Yeah, it's a butt plug.
Do you see that?
No, I think they said that at Condoms to Go.
Do you see that picture I sent you guys? It was like, found this Pikachu costume and need to sell it. And it was a hairband with Pikachu ears and a butt plug with the Pikachu tail attached to it. And they'd written, no idea how to attach the tail.
Anyways, yeah, going back to the tail thing, though, I was at a couple of different sex shops here the other day. Because there's a new Adam and Eve store that opened up on the D&T just north of Frankfurt. Like, it's an Adam and Eve store. And it's next to that Africa Fusion place that we went to that one time that was extremely good.
Yes.
Where we were, like, two of the three white people in the entire very packed restaurant. And it was very good. And they've actually moved to a bigger space. But they've got a full-on Adam and Eve store. And speaking of butt plug tails, they have those there too. They're really expensive. I mean, they're attached, it's a tail attached to a butt plug, but they're like $75.
Yeah, I was in, went up to Sarah's Secret, which is related to Condoms to Go, and they had them there too, and as usual, I'm notorious for not liking them. I think that they're silly.
Well, it's like the tail does not come out the butthole, but
yeah, you
whatever.
Do not poop a tail.
So, the first shooters, the Masked Singer, all that fun stuff, train of thought.
Derailed
by a brief hardware failure on our part, but if you go to patreon.com/southpodcast, you can help support us, and we'll replace this piece of crap cable and the next cycle, hopefully. Is that all of our topics for the week? I think so.
We have the letter.
Yes, well, I'm getting to that. So, yes, that is all of our topics for the week. And now we're going to shift to our email of the week. It's not the only email we'd read, but if you have to send us emails, send them to southpawscast@gmail.com. You can send us anonymous questions at southpawscast.tumblr.com. And in the meantime, I'm going to read this letter that we got last week, but was extremely long and needed to be edited for length and detail. So this is an Anon letter. So it's just sort of a personal story and relates to how I've been addressing things in my personal life as well. Apologies in advance for the wall of text and many spelling grammar errors. I'm writing in because I have a lot of problems with my personal identity. I recently started watching a show called Euphoria on HBO. Content warning, it has a lot of substance abuse and violence. The show has triggered a lot of my childhood trauma and is making me question who I am. A little background just to give you an idea of my complicated upbringing. I grew up in an abusive household with an alcoholic dad and absent mom. Then they gave some very bad examples of abuse. Eventually I came across the community when I was 14 and found some acceptance from strangers on the internet. Whether it was FA or DA, it just felt like being gay was okay. Eventually I wrote into the show and found new confidence to confront my dad. As a kid, you shouldn't have done that. But whatever. I was told that I would never get anything done if I didn't stand up for myself. Being a young, stupid kid, I didn't consider how bad things could get and confronted my family. And I kind of cut it down because it goes very long. It did not go well, and they attempted to force them into conversion therapy.
Ooh.
Eventually, they ran away from home when the opportunity came, and I didn't tell anyone where I was going or what I was doing. I knew that everyone I knew would try to stop me, so rather than saying anything, I just left. Fast forward 8 years. I have a husband, 3 fur babies, and a career. Things are great, but I still don't feel great, and I'm still holding on to my trauma. I never felt comfortable expressing myself when I was younger, and now that I'm older, I find myself constantly worrying about what others think of me. Recently, that's starting to change. I'm taking steps to truly accept myself, though accepting myself meant being okay with my hairy body, accepting my Neanderthal eyebrows, and coarse, dense, thick hair. Cutting my hair short because I can't have long hair, and not shaving because guys don't shave. Instead of constantly hating my body, I have now said that I'm going to do things that make me feel comfortable. I'm growing my hair out and wearing color contacts. People keep telling me I look bad and that I should cut my hair or that my eyes look strange with contacts. Well, you should tell those people to fuck off, because they're not you. I started to feel like everyone is right and maybe I should just dress normal. I'm trying to stay positive and not let it get to me. My husband doesn't know about these feelings I'm having about my body. I hint at it every now and then, but he jokes about it because he's older and doesn't understand. He gets mad when I shave my face because he likes beard. It also scares me that it might hurt him if I start to present myself in a more feminine manner. He married a man. I also feel this isn't a good time to bring it up. I'd always had these feelings, but never embraced them because I never felt comfortable with them. I'm now stepping out of my comfort zone and trying new things. I've never been to a gay bar, and I don't have any friends in the community, but that's okay. My husband did try to surprise me once, but it triggered me because I didn't know we were going. I then proceeded to ruin our entire evening. I didn't feel in control, and it triggered the memory of my family sending me off without warning. Relating to the sending them to conversion therapy and dropping them off. I don't know how to close it out. I wanted to say thanks to Saverin for helping me step out of my comfort zone. I always thought that it was too late for me to do anything. The only reason I never felt comfortable with them because of my family and the role I thought I had to fill. I'll eventually explain to my husband that I'm still a guy. I'm just not gender conforming. I still don't fully understand what it means, but heck, I might be messing it all up. But I'm trying something new, and if it feels comfortable, I'm wearing it.
Good on you. On.
Well, good on you for doing that. I'm terribly sorry that you're writing into us when you were much younger. It did not go well, because, well, back in the day, we would make the assumption that you were at least 18 and something of an adult when you wrote into the show. We were younger and dumber. But it is never too late to figure yourself out. And just because you're in your 30s or late 20s or any time, really, you don't have to, like, stick into the role you've been essentially forced into. If you have the space to do it, you know, certainly explore yourself, interrogate your sexuality and gender identity. That's the very important thing that most people do. And generally, if you have to question yourself, if you have to question the factor if you're cis and if you are, that bothers you, or if you aren't, that bothers you, you might need to sit down and talk to some people about that because you might not be.
It's never too late to get a cysterectomy.
Exactly. And, like, even if it is taking a label onto yourself and moving to a more androgynous presentation, and that makes you feel comfortable, that's fine. I mean, that's what works for me, and that's my goal, you know, a more androgynous presentation, and getting old ladies to call me Miss while I'm out helping at craft shows. It's always a nice little tingle of validation.
and confusing the MAGA types, the outdoor craft shows that are like...
Well, let's try to not do that, because, you know, I'd hate to have
I think it's fun to confuse them.
Yeah, but... in any event.
You also want to sell to them.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
I'm out there trying to sell shit, but I'm also the person out there with the long hair and the painted nails. Had to redo them bitches today because they were really gnarly. They had chipped them all to hell.
But, you know, you're selling, like, tie-dye and jewelry.
Yeah, tie-dye and jewelry and top hats and shit to country boys.
Yeah, so you're not selling, selling the AKs for $1,500.
Yeah, so, you know, our product is a little outside the flea market norm, I guess. But in any event, like, you know, you're never too old to figure yourself out. And there's people that have transitioned much, much later in life. Hell, there was a fucking story I saw that was like some World War II veteran basically was like, yeah, by the way, I've been trans my entire fucking life. And they were like in their 80s. Mm-hmm. Like, they fought in World War II, killed Nazis, and lived their entire life until they finally figured themselves out and came out as trans in their like, the twilight years of their life. And that's cool. I mean, you know, she's a terrible person and a bad example for most anything, but hell, Caitlyn Jenner did it in her 50s, and, you know, there's one of the devs for Borderlands 2 came out in her 40s. You know, it's not too late.
The Wachowskis.
And the Wachowski sisters. Look at them.
They were probably in their 30s, I guess, when they started transitioning. I don't know how old they were when they made The Matrix.
We live in a time where there's support out there on the net. There's information on the net. And people aren't so closed off to that information anymore. You don't have to, like, dig through random bookshelves of the library and maybe you might find a book on trans people. You can just go on the fucking internet and see people talking about it and talk to those people. And, like, speaking personally, I just have known trans people for the past decade or so easily, a lot more of them. And turns out I have a lot of friends who fall under that way.
Mm-hmm.
And in doing so, help me examine myself and figure my shit out, you know? There's the joke about the bronies, right? Where it's like, you either come out a fascist or trans. And it's like, well, at least I came out on the right end of that one. You know, even if it's not like my flavor is not what the flavor everybody expects.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's never too late to figure your shit out. And that's the hope I want to give to you, the listener. It's like, you're not too far along to change your course. Like, you're not, you know, it's not as easy. There is no the button, mm-hmm. you know. God, I wish that was the case. Or, you know, we talk about having cyber bodies that we can just swap the configuration thereof. That'd be cool. But, you know, we live in this world and, you know, we can carve out our own niche for it.
This is why if I had to pick a superpower, it would be shape-shifting.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the Odo of Deep Space Nine kind of style, where you can change your mass, you can just morph into anything painlessly.
Sleep in a bucket,
yeah. I'd have a really nice bucket. I'd have a TARDIS, actually, just a little...
A TARDIS cookie jar.
Just a little TARDIS, yeah.
Well, you could sleep one in the TARDIS cookie jar, so when you wake up, it just... you know. Oh. Fuzz is awake.
Yep.
The
lid pops open.
Fuzz coming out of his cookie jar to shame humanity.
Yeah, I ooze my way out and decide on a form for the day. What's my day off? I'm just going to be full furry.
It's like, ooh, okay, which of the two in this picture that Truegrave did you all want to be today?
Right.
The big bear werewolf form or the girly boy? Ooh, or you could reference the commission we got.
Yes.
Speaking of, that has been posted and is now going all over the place. Apparently, it's very well liked in a number of arenas. And when we finally shared it to the chat, a lot of people were like, oh, shit.
Yeah, this is what they were talking about.
This is why Shiva went, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, and people did find me getting flustered extremely amusing, which is fine because it was funny. But it is an extremely hot image.
It's on my Twitter and my FA.
Yeah, and I made sure to fave it too.
I linked both the artists on Twitter and FA as well, so you can find and follow the artists. They surprisingly don't have very large followings on either Twitter or FA, so. So, you know, go check them out. I'd like to get more art.
Dang. Yep, that's good stuff. All right. Well, it is now coming up on an hour and a half or so on the raw recording. Do we have anything else we want to hit today?
Yeah, I was going to say good luck and have fun at Fervana Northwest. That is this weekend. It started today. It's their first year. It is in Ocean Shores, Washington, which is about 2 hours, 2.5 hours away from Seattle.
Oh, yeah, that one.
It is right on the Pacific coast of Washington State. And I'd considered going, but I had other things come up and I didn't have enough PTO left. But looking at it on their website, it looked like a really nice area. One of their guests of honor is Mary E. Loud, the author of the Otters in Space series. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really great that they chose to have a writer guest of honor for their first year. So
near and dear cool. to your heart.
Yep. And also next week is Alamo City Furry Invasion.
Oh, Jesus.
So we'll be taking a break next week because Saverin will be heading down to San Antonio with Ajax.
Are we going down Wednesday or Thursday?
It's up to you guys. I think the plan was for you guys to go down Thursday, set up, hang out.
Okay, yeah, because the con doesn't start till Friday. It's right, not like a 4-day event like Anthrocon or a major con.
Yeah.
It's still decently large, but it's not that big yet.
You can come home Sunday night or Monday morning. I think I talked to Ajax and you guys, and I got the room for Sunday night, so you guys are going to...
We'll be Monday morning.
Probably
because
Monday
I'll morning. Be tired as shit and it's a 5-hour drive.
Yeah, you don't want to work all day in the dealer's room Sunday, break down, and then drive 5 hours. You know, if it was like a 3-hour trip, maybe.
Then we have to make sure that we have enough energy to stop at all the Buc-ee's.
Yeah, yeah.
Texas travel temples.
Do all the Buc-ee's selfies, yep. You know, take, or you could take like a really cool picture of Ajax with the Buc-ee statue with your new phone.
Yeah.
And all its new portrait features portrait mode, and everything. Yeah.
My new fancy iPhone 11. Yep. I didn't even tell that anecdote, but I got a new phone and it takes good photos. I take really cute pictures of Adam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That was the joke. It's like I upgraded my phone just so I could take better pictures of my dog.
I mean.
It's okay. He's your kid.
Yep. All right. So
we can, since I mentioned my Twitter and my FA, I am Fuzzwolf on both of those sites. So you go to my FA and find all the porn I've commissioned. If you like femboy characters, there are a lot of them in my gallery. And I try to be sure to link to the artists that did the pieces whenever I can. So you can go find them and check out more of their stuff. As I mentioned, the con, Ajax and Saverin will be running the For Planet table with Zia.
Yep.
So we will have all of our books and stuff and all of our new stuff that came out at Anthrocon. I've restocked. So if you missed AC and you haven't ordered them online, if you're going to ACFI, that is a good opportunity to pick up some new releases that you won't have seen before.
Yep, and I'll be sure. I'm going to bring my laptop and the Yeti.
The blue mic, yeah.
And maybe record something while down there.
That'd be cool.
See who all's there. Just be like, ACFI, day one of the Cyberverse. Because their theme is really cool, so cyberpunk gear. As for me, you can follow me on Twitter at Saverin Drake. Find me on Twitch at Saverin. On For Affinity at Saverin, where you can see my faves and also art that I have gotten. I finally got my Rafa badge from Moth Monarch, which is really cool. I need to get someone to actually print that out and get it laminated. And then, yeah, that's about where you can find me. You can find the show on Twitter at SouthpawsCast. Find us on Patreon at SouthpawsCast. And email us at SouthpawsCast@gmail.com.
Don't forget our Tumblr, Saverin.
Tumblr, man. It's such a damn shame. They sold it for $1 billion, and they sold it for $3 million.
They bought it for...
Verizon bought it for like $1.2 billion.
Destroyed it,
and then sold it for $3 million.
Wow.
You could have just kept the porn, you fuckers.
But, idiots.
Oh, well. So, and Shiva, you're free.
Well, you can always pop into our Telegram chat. There's lots of porn. And
good discussion.
Yeah. We're pretty good at policing it so that we don't have a lot of idiots in there.
Yep. We've got a code of conduct and everything.
So, good times, usually by all. But I'm in there. You can always pop in, say hi.
Yep. It's Fuzz and Shiva and myself and Keo and a whole bunch of other folks. So, on that note, good night.
And big books.